Praise the Lord, brethren. Praise the Lord. As the days go by, we find God changing the word that comes. This is one of the reasons we cannot preach canned sermons, because the can would be producing the same thing, you know, that it produced last year. But we find the word changing, and the clarity, even the same old word, is kind of coming more alive. And I believe you're finding the same thing, that there is a liveliness about the word of God that is coming in the body. The body must be alive. The body must minister. God does not have a class of people called ministers. Did you know that? He does not have a class of people called ministers. God has set in the body apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers. But where is the ministry? It's in the body. That is, there is not anyone who could come and say, God sent me to minister to you, unless he is a functioning part of the body. See, we are only different parts of the body. And the finger is as alive as the toe. But the finger cannot do what the toe does, neither can the toe do what the finger does. But it is just as much alive. So God is directing us to even a more detailed understanding of what the body of Christ really is. And he wants us to begin to walk in the body and live in the body. That is, if you cannot live as a body member, you are not of the body. We have too many dead members, or let's put it a little better, members that will not exercise their rights to move and to live and to do what God wants us to do. In other words, God is feeding more energy now. More life is coming now into the body than was there before. Because this is the time when we are going to have to rise up and do. Samson, after destroying the corn fields of the Philistines, went into a rock, and he stayed in the rock Etam, and the Philistines came to arrest him. Israel was weak. I'm not talking about Samson, you know. What am I talking about? I'm talking about the church. I'm talking about the church hiding in the rock. I'm talking about the brethren of the church, some of us. Give up the others. Weak, afraid of the enemy. So they went up and arrested Samson themselves. Church delivering up church. Are you listening? And they bound him with new cords. And they took him down and delivered him over to the Philistines in order that the Philistines would not hurt them. The church system is about ready to deliver those who are different from them, who won't conform to their ways, up to the world to destroy. But as Samson went down, bound before the Philistines began to celebrate their victory. And God said, they shouted against Samson and against God. Now I want you to understand that a shout symbolizes a certain going forth of energy in whatever you're doing. And so they were praising their God for giving them Samson. Remember, I'm not talking about Samson. And they shouted against him. And the Bible recorded that when they shouted against him, God came upon him. In other words, he needed a move of God to move. And God is saying that we need the move, and when we feel the move, we must move. And when this move hit Samson, the Bible said that the first thing happened, that fire burned the ropes. Now, it said the ropes were burned as if by fire. That the fire of the Holy Ghost is going to set your bonds free. Mm-hmm. Set you free. Loose your bonds. And when your bonds are loosed, you must know what to do. You must do the right thing. The first thing he did is look around for a weapon. You know, sometimes you read the scriptures and sometimes you just talk it. It doesn't make any difference if I go through three chapters just telling you the story rather than having to go read it. They're very accurate what I tell you. He looked around to find something to fight with. And there was an old dead jackass. Old dead jackass. And his bones was bleach white, bleach dry bone. And there was his jawbone. Now come on. If we were giving, you know, the spiritual meanings of all this, Samson means the body of Christ. The rope is the bandage that they have put upon us. The other his brothers was the Christians, the other Christians who didn't like us. Hallelujah. So what is the jawbone? You see what I'm saying? The jawbone of an ass. You take your Bible. You know, the Bible is a beautiful book. Marvelous. No book like it in the world. It could not have been written by a man. You hear me? I mean, it could not be written by a man. When you read your Bible, you know it could not be written by a man. And moreover, it's several men that God used to write it. And there was no way that those several men could have got together because they were in different ages of time. Anyhow, you go read about the jackass in the Bible. And the references you have to jackass is the first reference that I can think of is in the law, that the first fruits belong to God. First fruits of your field, you must take them and carry them to God. The first fruit of your animals, you must take the first foal or the first animal that you have from that doe or whatever you call it, she, ass or whatever, it belongs to God. But God doesn't want a jackass to be offered up as a sacrifice. So what do you do with the jackass? You redeem it with a lamb. Are you with me? You redeem the ass with a lamb, and if you don't redeem the ass, you must break its neck. But it is belonging to the Lord. Now, when you take that right along, you see that the ass is referring to you. We are the ass, and God says that out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, He'll ordain strength. In the end time, God shows a picture of a sharp, two-edged sword coming out of the mouth of the church and destroying an enemy. Down in Revelation 11, we see the two witnesses and the fire word of their mouth was coming out to destroy their enemies. So you want to know now what the jackass is. God is talking about our mouth. Oh yes. And Samson wondered, he said, heaps upon heaps, dead men with the jawbone of an ass. The ass is redeemed. The ass was bleached, dry bone. But it was redeemed. Hallelujah. By Samson picking it up in the name of the Lord. And he slew 1,000 men with the jawbone of an ass. And so, we see God doing something in our time. Samson couldn't do anything unless the Lord came down on him. Amen. God had to give him a special anointing for every job that he was going to do. Brethren, it's the same with you. If you think you can get up and run out there and do your thing, you're making a sad mistake. We must have that special anointing of God to do what we need to do. But we have to understand that he has certain rules by which the anointing is given, and we must go by the rules. Now let us look at what God has given us in the Holy Ghost. Let's go back to Gospel of John, and we take the 14th chapter, and the 15, 16, 17. If ye love me, keep my commandments. First rule, first law, love God. Thou shalt love, help me, the Lord thy God, with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength. You see, to love God, you must love God number one, as number one. That's what God means. In other words, God isn't saying that you have the mighty capacity to love like God loves. Your love might be just like a little thimble in comparison to a big ocean. But if you put God first, God is number one in your life, then you love God as much as God wants you to love God. You get the story? God's not asking you to do any impossible tasks. All he's asking you to do is to love him number one. How did the little girl say it, me? Way up in the sky, she said. She said, I love you, way up in the sky. Amen. She means way above her head. Number one. number one. God wants you to have him number one. Brethren, let's just think about number one for a while. You know, many times God takes second place in our lives. We have other things that we count more important. The reason why you are here tonight, it's not because you didn't have anything else to do. See, many of us had many other things to do, and we could do it. We could enjoy other things. But because we have a priority upon one thing, then we use the time to do that one thing. Sometimes you're tired. Sometimes you are upset. Sometimes you're in no condition to do the thing, to come to service tonight, but to you it is important. And so you sweep everything away and put it number one. But there is another time when number one is, we're temperamental. You know what I mean by temperamental? Sometimes it's number one and sometimes it's not. And we need to have a steady understanding. Do you know that the law, take your Bible and read the law of the first fruits. The law of the first fruits. The law of the first fruits in the Bible is God telling you that he should be number one. So whereas the Israelites would have first fruits once a year, or if it's animals, they would have it so many times a year when the animals have their fold. You have it every day. See, your first fruit is an everyday thing that God is saying. When you get up in the morning, God. When you go to bed at night, God. At midday, God. It is God all through the day. See what I'm saying? Some people, if you notice in Daniel, as the scripture said, Daniel used to pray what? Every morning and every midday and every evening. The Jews were taught to pray morning and at sunset. See what I'm saying? You are in a different order. You are called to something entirely different. God said, pray without ceasing. That is, you're going to do so and so, and God, be with me. You start to think something, God. Even in your dreams, you will dream God first. Because it is ingrained, it's marked, it's carved, like this carving on this chair. It's cut in, carved into your consciousness. And your soul will come out with the brand of Jesus first. Thus, if you continue to practice God first, Jesus first. Now, so we see then this 15th verse. If you love me, keep my command. And I, you notice that the 16th verse says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. Now, the Holy Ghost has the two operations with you. He is with you. He is in you. And he's with you and in you, because sometimes you are not in the Spirit, but he is in you. Now there's a special significance of the word that the Holy Ghost is in you. See, this significance says the Holy Ghost is not in charge. You are in charge. The scripture said the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. When the Bible said God is in you, It means you are covering over God. You are in charge, not God. The only time God is in charge is when you hand over to Him. That's a different story entirely. If I say you are in Christ, different story. When I say you are in Christ, that means you have made a covenant absolutely of death, and you have no intention, no desire to be in yourself, to do your thing anymore. You're finished with that. You are in Christ. So Christ is in you, and you are in Christ. But when God's talking about the Holy Ghost is in you, He's talking about an operation where you are the boss. And the Holy Ghost will not take over unless you hand it over to Him. Let's read a little more and we'll understand a little more details on it. We go down to verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. There's no reason why we should have false doctrines. You should be able to listen to the worst and the most powerful preacher of falsehood and not be taken by it, because your insides can't accept it. You will just vomit it up. This should be the condition of the children of God, that you could read the worst book and it don't affect you, because you cannot put it inside, because the Holy Ghost is in you, and He in you will reject the things that are not good, except you specially want it and you put Him aside to take these things. You follow what I'm saying? So we must understand here. But there's, He said here, He's going to lead you where? Into all truth. Lord, have mercy upon us. You know why I say that? Don't you should know why I'm saying that? If the Holy Ghost came into us to lead us into all truth, then what is wrong? Why so many people have the Holy Ghost and are not being led into truth? They are all going after lies and errors. You see? Okay. Let's go into psychology a little bit. Here is the human being having a desire inside of him. He wants to preach. Right? He wants to preach. It's a righteous thing, good thing. Huh? Isn't it good to want to preach? You want to bless others. You want to see people lifted up and blessed and praising the Lord. Good. So you want to do a good thing. But lo and behold, the desire to preach become what? Number one. So that God lost His place in your life to what? The desire to preach. Huh? So who take over? Well, you take over, but brother, I'm telling you, a religious spirit would never sit down and allow you to be boss. He's going to take over because that's his territory. The religious spirit take you over and you become a preacher. And a lot of people get blessed, for sure. But while you open your mouth getting blessed, just one little piece of the religious spirit get into it. And if you continue to listen more and more and more, you will be find yourself having the same desires. You might not want to preach. You might want to do something else. But it's all a religious exercise. Don't you see the danger? Look at us. Lift up your eyes. Look around. Where are the people growing in the Spirit? Because let me tell you, if the Holy Ghost came in order to lead you into all truth, you're going to get better and better, no matter how dumb you are, brother. You're going to get smarter for God and better for God every day, because the Holy Ghost is setting little traps here and there for you to go into truth. Oh, yes. You get your head bashed in and you think it's something bad. The Holy Ghost set a little trap there for you to get you to learn some truth. See? So the Holy Ghost is always working. Always working little things to get us into truth. You know, somebody said, oh God, you know, so many people out there not hearing the word of truth. What's going to happen to them? You trust the Holy Ghost. You trust the Holy Ghost. There's only one little problem that I see the Holy Ghost have, and he's going to solve it in a very terrible way. Because so many people offbeat, and the end of time is coming up, and he's got to do the job all of a sudden. And if he would bash one brother in his head, nobody would hear about it. But when he's going to have to bash probably 3-4 billion people in their heads, all of a sudden, we're going to call it a tribulation. You get the idea? We are the people who make the tribulation a must because of the way we live and the way we are resisting the spirit that we have received. We make a covenant with God. Then we turn around and resist the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is determined to lead us into all truth. What do you think would happen if when Eliezer lifted Rebecca and put her on top of the camel hump? She had started to fuss and complain and said she wanted a more comfortable seat and said I prefer walk. You know, you know what I mean? You'd have to use methods on her because he was determined to carry her to Isaac because God had told him that's the woman. And this is the church we're talking about. And Eliezer is a type of the Holy Ghost. See? And Rebecca is a type of the church. And so as we see God leading the church on, and we are coming into the time when it's getting late. See, God's going to have to use means on us. Means. You know, in Skylar, your factory shut down. This place was a means of sustenance for a lot of people, and it shut down. But don't you think God is saying something to you guys? Mm-hmm. Don't you think God is trying to say something? You have to learn to live without that factory. Mm-hmm. God's teaching us something. If it's even to get the love of the brethren working among one another, that they start helping one another. If it is even that, God, that is invaluable to God. You know. So we need to open our eyes and see what's happening. We are in down in the end of time. And tribulation is on land. It's hitting people everywhere, and it's getting worse and worse and worse. If you think this year is dark, you just wait till next year. Because it's going to be darker than this year. But God is saying something to us, that he has put his spirit within us, and his spirit is leading us in a certain direction, and we should listen to the little voice in here. But I don't know how to listen to the voice in here. I don't know how to listen to the voice in here. Well, very simple. It's very simple. Very, very simple. I come to you and I said, come, let's go to Jamaica. And you start thinking about going to Jamaica. But you like the idea. Oh boy, you know. But you have a little check in here. It's not much. You could brush that aside easily. And find some reason. Start reasoning. You know what I mean? But I'm going to ask you, cut off your reason. Don't reason. Just look inside and see how you feel about your going to Jamaica. And all of a sudden, you feel something is not quite right. That is the Holy Ghost, and you must not go. Regardless of what arguments you can put up afterwards to still that voice, to convince yourself that you should go, the Holy Ghost spoke, don't go. That's what it means. You see, if you give way to that spirit, all of a sudden, you get some good reasons. You begin to understand more. You feel comfortable with the idea of not going. But if you begin to prepare and you want to go, you'll find something go wrong here, something go wrong here. You have to get this fixed, you have to get that fixed. It's not smooth. God's still using the material thing to talk to you. Now you have rejected his first push to get you to hear him. Brethren, we have a spirit in us. And I know the Holy Ghost gives some people feelings in their body. Oh yeah. I opened my mouth to talk about somebody one day. I felt a cold like you threw ice water right inside my stomach. I don't say is everybody gonna feel ice water pour down their clothes. But what I'm saying is that the Holy Ghost does speak to you in many different ways. You don't feel comfortable. Just imagine yourself doing the thing. Have you ever tried it that way? Imagine yourself doing it. You said, I want to know what God is saying. Should I do this or should I? And then you imagine yourself doing it. And a little discomfort come in your spirit. Listen, brethren, the Bible says the Holy Ghost is what? The Comforter. When you obey the Lord, you feel comfortable. You feel comfortable inside, regardless of what's happening to you because of what you did. You feel comfortable inside. See? And I want you to start noticing it. The Holy Ghost, which is the Comforter, when he comes, he will lead you into all truths. If you don't feel comfortable with a certain position in your life, the Holy Ghost isn't comfortable either. We need to begin to understand what the Holy Ghost is saying, because the Holy Ghost does not like to talk to you through your ears. Did you know that? You knew that? The Holy Ghost does not like me to come to you and say, Sandy, the Lord tell me so and so to tell you. He doesn't like that. That is his second best. His best is inside. Yeah. That's his best. You believe me? God sit down with me and talk with me for 7 months like a man talking to me. I found out afterwards. You know, I used to preach that this is the greatest. Huh? I found out afterwards it's because I was so ignorant why he did it. I wouldn't have believed him any other way. He said, blessed are they which have not seen and yet they believe. Oh yes. You stop wishing now that you could have that experience? But you see, God is saying, of course, you're going to bring up to me that he spoke to Moses face to face and so on and so on. Different dispensation. Different dispensation. Different time. Man had not reached the point of development spiritually as we reach today. He did not have the Holy Ghost inside of him. That's why God had to talk to him like that. Okay. Now, let's go on here a little bit. He will teach you all. And if you turn your Bibles again, one leaf over, and you look at the 26th verse again. I don't know if when you study in your Bible you realize that some verses, the same number verse carries the same thought through the Bible many places. You look at the 15th chapter and the 26th verse. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeded from the Father, he shall testify of me. If you turn back your Bible, turn it back. In verse 17, Jesus said, even what? The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. So then, the Spirit of truth is Jesus Christ himself. Did you see that? Jesus said, I am what? The truth, the life, the way. Then he said, the Spirit of truth. It means to say that God cannot be separated. You can't say Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, three different people. It's one God. So when you see, when you say you have the Holy Ghost inside of you, you better believe that Jesus is inside there too. See, and if Jesus is inside you too, what is he there for? If then it's the Holy Ghost that you must obey. What is Jesus there for? Don't you see something peculiar there? You see anything there? You think you're getting a revelation right now? That God send the Holy Ghost into your spirit in order that Christ would be born in your soul. The Holy Ghost working from your spirit is working into your soul to bring forth Jesus Christ in your soul. For what God promised us is that Christ will come forth in us. This is the promise. You remember? I'll plant my law in your hearts and in your inward parts, and you shall become my children. Amen? And if you turn your Bibles around to Romans 8, and verse 14. Somebody read that for me as you get it. Now, probably you'll understand it a little better if I tell you what the Greek says right there. It says, if you allow the Holy Ghost to lead you, you are a huyo, not a technon. The technon is a little baby. Now this boy is his father's son. Although he's a little boy, your daughter, your son. See, you wouldn't give him the whole household because he wouldn't know what to do with it. But he's still your son. See, so God never used the word huyo for us. It is always used for Christ Jesus alone. And guess what? He used it in Romans 8:14. He said, if you obey the Holy Ghost, though technon you be, you turn into Hugo. You become a matured son if you follow the Holy Ghost. You know why? I tell you why. The word Holy Ghost means holy. And holy is completely opposite to you. Because holy means whole, complete. And the opposite is sinful or not holy. But if you begin to obey that which is holy, then what happens? You will be as holy as God is holy. For you are doing everything that God would do if God were you. Come on now. This is what God is doing for us. He is bringing us up, growing us every day. Every day, teaching us the precepts, and the greatest precept in the Bible is obedience to the Holy Ghost. Then why didn't somebody teach me how to obey the Holy Ghost? The reason we don't obey the Holy Ghost, most of us sitting here, not because we're bad or we don't want to, it's because we don't know who the Holy Ghost is. We hear 20 different voices and we don't know which one is the Holy Ghost. But what we need to learn is how to listen to the Holy Ghost. And tell you the truth, you gotta be honest. You have to be honest to hear the Holy Ghost, because sometimes when you don't want to do it, you say, it's my own mind telling me. But if you really can listen to yourself and know yourself, first of all, don't have any confidence in you. Absolutely reject you. You know, just reject you. Say, I don't want to hear what I think. I think so and so. You ever go and tell your problem to a group of people? Huh? That is a problem. You tell your problem to a group of people and everybody is telling you exactly what to do. You know, and everybody know, I know, I had an aunt who had the same problem, and you know what she did? She did so and so, and I said, no, let me tell you, I'll just tell you exactly what to do now. All you have to do is to run around the house 3 times, and you know, that's how. And everybody has a solution to your problem. You know what it is? Everybody loves you. They mean good. But everybody is giving you the answer from their own mind. And the one answer, do you know God is upset with you when you run to everybody asking them what to do? The Bible speaks about it. I won't tell you what the Bible says about it, but the Bible speaks about it. I might as well tell you, the Bible says that's a fool. So that's what a fool does. Run to everybody and ask him everybody's opinion. First thing you should do, ask God's opinion. And give him a chance to answer you. And when you ask God's opinion, relax it. If you are even on the brink, ready to fall over, just relax it. And hold on. And God will soon show you a way. I mean, it is such a marvelous thing when God brings in the light. It's such a marvelous thing. You know, as I tell you, some time ago, I was an accountant. I had a vicious problem that no human being could solve. I took the problem to God. I went to bed the night. The whole problem was solved. Right? Showed me exactly what to do. Got up in the morning and I was relieved. I did it. There is no problem that God cannot solve. And the worst part about God solving problems is that it's so simple. You see, he says your thoughts are not like his thoughts. Man, humanity, we have a thought pattern that we can't break out of. It seems that normally we think a certain way. Oh, yes. If you see a thing appear right in the door there, an awful, dreadful thing, and nobody knows what, what's the thought? To run. The moment you're faced with a mystery, everybody wants to run. You know, this is the kind of, human thinks a certain way, you see. And God thinks another way. And God is saying, don't trust your own thoughts. Trust His thinking, believe in His thinking, so that when you get a thought, you don't jump and work on it. You just say, God, I'm going to put this thought right before you. So, we go back to John 15,
the Comforter, whom I have sent unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father.
In the Spirit and lie, make a mistake. If you prophesy something and it's not so, then you must beg pardon. Ask them to forgive you. And Satan must have been self that rose up there. At least self is not the worst thing that can rise up, you know. But are you understanding what I'm saying? There is a perfection in the church. And the perfection is in the Spirit. And no one can prophesy or do anything in the Spirit and be wrong. It has to be deadly accurate, because the Spirit of God cannot make a mistake. Now, we go on then, and 16 now.
I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot receive, bear them. Somebody has an Amplified? Let's hear what the Amplified said on that verse 12.
Yes. Now, he was talking to people who were not baptized in the Holy Ghost. He was talking to people who could not stand truth. The truth was too heavy for them. But any time a person is baptized in the Holy Ghost, the truth should never be too heavy for him. He should be able to handle it. But I've seen brothers who baptized in the Holy Ghost yet they are so damaged, spiritually damaged, that they cannot take the truth. You have to be gentle with them in telling them what the Holy Ghost says. Now, you look with me at the next verse. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. We're talking about the person of God. He says, don't tell me about the destruction. Brother says, come and preach to us, but don't say anything about the destruction. Now what are you saying? You are saying, speak to us, but if the Holy Ghost say anything about the destruction, don't say it. In other words, don't you preach in the Spirit. You must talk to us from our own mind, or you must quench the Spirit. Because the prophet, the Spirit of the prophet, is subject to the prophet. Remember, brethren, we are coming into the place where we become subject to the Spirit. In other words, God is asking a people to surrender up their rights, your right of will, to the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. This is what God's asking us to do. But we have not yet got to that point. where we are absolutely, totally, 100% surrendered up to God. And God has given us the privilege now to exercise our judgment. And so, because the Holy Ghost is in us, he said, he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever shall hear, that shall he speak, and he'll show you things to come. I remember a preacher speaking about prophesying or preaching. And he said that you can know when a preaching is of God or a prophecy is of God, different from when one is not of God. And so he said God allowed him to hear a prophecy, and it was he who was prophesying. And he said, surely God, that one is of God. God said, no, that's not of God. And he said, he heard himself prophesying again, and God said, well, this is of God. I said, but God, I don't see the difference. Both of them sound just alike. And God said, the one that is not of God is the one that was not glorifying God. And you know, when you say glorifying God, some brother believe you mean, oh, glory to God. Oh, bless God. Oh, Jesus is so good. Jesus is so wonderful. And that's what he thinks glorifying God is. That's not what it means. Glorifying God means that it shows forth the nature of God. You understand what I'm talking about? The thing brings forth God. Because, and you can't be deceived with that. Because if you are blessed, you are blessed. If you are lifted up and made better for Christ, you are. If after the message you are drawn closer to God. You know, sometimes you are in the presence of God and you feel like you would just crawl on the floor. You don't feel to sit up in the seat. You feel like you could just get down before God. That's the presence of God. And whatever it is, a prophecy come forth and give you that the feeling that you are in the presence of God, that you are hearing the words of God, it glorifies God. See, so it says here that he will testify of me. The Holy Ghost will testify of Jesus Christ. And whatsoever he shall hear, he will speak. And he will show you things to come. Don't preach revelation to me, some people say. Don't you preach revelation to me. I want to hear how to live. I want you to preach the Paul and Peter and all these things of these brothers instructing me how to live. Let me tell you something. God is going to tell you, the Holy Ghost in you is going to show you things to come. Very simple. Riding down the road, the left wheel on the car, I believe it came off. Now, all right, I've got to say it was coming off, but I believe the left wheel came off the car and the angel of God put it back on and kept it on. Because here we are traveling from Miami to Pennsylvania. And we are in the heart of Pennsylvania going over those hills. And suddenly Mavis sees a vision of the wheel come off. And the left wheel come off. But I'm holding the steering and I feel the wheel is gone. And I say, oh God, just help us to get to Fitchburg, where we're going, so that we can look after this wheel. And so we got to Fitchburg, and we drove into a garage, right up on the ramp, and they lifted the car, and when the car went up, the wheel came down. The man had to run, you know, because the wheel came down, boom, jumping all over the place. It wasn't on at all by any, and nothing held it on. And they said It must be a miracle. I said, how did you get in here? You know, traveling so far, how did you get in here if this was the condition of your wheel? So praise be to God. We do believe that you can see things ahead. And many of us have seen things ahead, and some of us have seen over the shoulders of others. Amen. And I believe that the higher up the person is, the further he'll see. And I believe if the Lord lifts you up, rather, you will see it all around. So, the Bible said, the Holy Ghost that you have inside of you came to show you things to come. And in your personal lives, sometimes you have dreams and visions. You know some of the time what a dream is? You want me to tell you it's not a dream at all. It actually happened. Things happen in the spirit world, I mean, before it happens here. And the only way I can explain it to you is like if a man was on the moon tonight and he fired a missile to hit here, right here now. We could all go to bed tonight knowing that the missile is fired, and we could wake up tomorrow morning and the kids go to school and they could come back home and have their dinner. And we could go to bed again another night before we get out of here. You see, because we know it's going to take so much time, but the thing is already done. It's not manifested here yet. But as far as we know, it is already done. And what we're talking about in the spirit, God give the spirits the right to do whatever they do. And they know it, and somebody can come and whisper in your ears. But according to the laws that govern spiritual things, they can't tell you plainly. They have to give you a hint. And if you are spiritual enough to catch the right interpretation, then you escape. And most of the times, the things that you see in the spirit, you can stop it. That's why the spirit showed you. Sometimes you can't stop it, but you can run. And you have to have the understanding of God what to do, whether to run or to pray. I never forget what happened to us one time. I had a vision that this brother came to me and told me exactly when he was going to die. But, of course, he didn't tell me plainly. He gave me a riddle. I was foolish enough to go into the congregation and tell the brethren that the brother is going to die if he does not repent. The brother was the head and the leader of the congregation, and so they rose up against me and threw me out. And then they began to pray against the vision. You understand? Because here is this evil person reporting an evil thing that's going to happen to our leader. You see, if they were in the Holy Ghost, or if they were following the Holy Ghost and just allow the Holy Ghost to talk to them, the Holy Ghost should show them how they could stop it. They could stop it. But there was only one way to stop it, by repentance. Instead of getting the brother to repent, they bolstered him by saying I'm a liar. Came to pass on target. It came to pass on target. Amen. And you know, the angel of the Lord that brought it to me, you know what he told me? He told me it will be January. It will be January. And I look for January, and January came and went, and February went, and March went, but on the 15th of April, which was the first month of God's year, the very day it happened, I was a little bit frightened, because I said you have to have the mind, a spiritual mind, to really spiritually understand a vision. And so, praise God, the Bible said he will lead you unto all truths, and he's going to tell you about things that are to come. None of us are supposed to be caught unawares by anything here. The Holy Ghost went over to Armenia and told the brethren over there to leave, to run to California. I told them that whenever the time comes again, he'll tell them again when to, what to do in California. I believe that we, the people of God, we have the answer. Oh yes, but we need to believe the Holy Ghost that we have. Not only lead you into all truth, but lead you into knowledge of things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. If God is going to give you something and you are going to use it for a wrong purpose, you don't get it, because he knows what you're going to do with it. You see where we are? So the Holy Ghost has come to plant the seed of the man-child in our hearts. What am I talking about? He's come to plant the seed of the man-child in our hearts, which is the Christ in the soul. You see, the Christ, the man-child, is Christ's head, us. The body has Christ in him, and the body must get into Christ to be part of the body of Christ. Isn't that something? In other words, God puts the Spirit of God in you, that the Spirit of God might change your soul nature, so that you as a person become like the person Christ Jesus, physical flesh and blood. God promised us that this will happen 3.5 years before the end of time. So we see that we will physically be like Jesus Christ for 3.5 years. That's the promise of God, because he promised 7 years and Jesus took 3.5 out of it and leave 3.5 for us. So we can well understand what is happening. That is not talking about you're not being perfect, you're walking perfect. You can walk perfect. God expects you to walk perfect. God expects you to walk like Jesus Christ would walk if he were in your shoes, by walking in the Holy Ghost. But before you get to the Christ stage, see what I'm talking about? Before that happens, while that process is going on, you are obeying the Holy Ghost, you can be as perfect as God is perfect by your walk. Tall order, a true word. You see, and you dare not say, oh, that's too high above me. Anytime you say that, you don't understand what you're talking about. Because God's not asking you to do one thing. all you should do is not to put you on top of the Holy Ghost that is in you. Deny yourself, take up your cross. Well, Luke says daily, and follow after me. Deny, you know, you heard the word, deny yourself. You know what you deny yourself? I don't know the man. He's a stranger to me. I don't want him manifesting. I don't want him doing anything around here. I want Jesus Christ. Deny yourself. Take up your cross. It's going to hurt. It's going to hurt. And the devil and the people around you will see it, that it really hurts. And follow after me. That is the thought that God has put on my heart for tonight. The Holy Ghost will teach you all things. You don't have to worry about anything else. The Holy Ghost, He'll bring you comfort. He'll be your sword and shield. He'll deliver you from problems. He'll lift you up when you are weak and weary. He'll help you in your business. The Eliezer of God is taking you back, if you will let him, back to Isaac, to Christ, and to the land that we have lost. Praise be to God. I want to see if you have any questions that you would like to ask, or any discussion. You should discuss this matter a little bit. Yes, brother. We represent the ass. The jawbone of the ass was showing that Samson did it physically. It was an impossibility. A jawbone like that, especially a dry old jawbone, you take it and you smash it against this wall and it would shatter. So God is saying that He's going to use your mouth to bring down the kingdoms of the world. If you notice that in Revelation, it said out of their mouth, fire came forth. It didn't mean natural fire. It means a mouth dedicated to God, sanctified by God, speaking through the Spirit, will bring down the kingdoms of the world. It shows that we will not win by warfare, natural warfare. We won't win by going into politics, like some of the brothers are doing. We won't win by any other thing but by the power of the spoken word. See, two witnesses, Spirit and the Word. That's what it means. Amen. We should have a lot to say about the Holy Ghost and the function that God is speaking of, which we have been missing. You believe me, brethren, we would grow more in the Spirit if we were walking more in the Spirit. We need to begin to pay attention to this area. No, not how I feel, not what I want to do, but what the Spirit wants me to do at this time. Amen. You know, suppose every time the devil gets you mad and upset, you turn to God and begin to pray to God. Then the devil would learn to leave you alone, because he doesn't want you to go turn to God. He wouldn't get you mad. That's the kind of thing I'm thinking about. We need to deliberately practice. And there's no better opportunity you have than when you feel mad or upset, hurt, to deliberately turn to God. And though you don't feel it, you know, because you feel mad, you start to call upon the name of the Lord. And you see what happens. Praise God. Is it that you are dumbfounded? Spirit in you, you in the spirit. Two different things. The reason we can do so much, make so much errors, and though we have the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Ghost is subject to us. We must let him loose, and then he will do whatever we want him to do. Hallelujah. It's always true, except, well, under ordinary circumstances it is true. But there could be a circumstance where it goes in the reverse, in that the Holy Ghost wants you to do something and you want to do something else. And well, you wouldn't feel at peace in that way. But if you just sit down quietly and imagine that you do the thing, then you would find right away that a peace would come, even in your imagining that you do it. And you would know that this is what God wants you to do. Yes.
The question is, what are you going to say? I'm too troubled, but it's been a troubling time for me in the last few months because of a little bit of uncertainty. I felt when the Lord is speaking a certain way, he's giving a lot of witness. It doesn't speak to me like it used to. I'm not bothered by that, but it's a different thing for me.
I know what you're saying. In other words, is this very thing I mentioned at the beginning, but I mean, I just didn't mention it and carry it out properly so that you could understand. But that in my Christian growth, the voice of God changed many times. I used to, first of all, let's show you how I started. I started hearing God with my ears. He would come right behind me and whisper like a person in my ear. And I thought that was the greatest thing on earth. I mean, you just can't make a mistake if somebody is whispering in your ear. And so he kept on doing that until I found out that the devil could do it too. So God deliberately changed when I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He changed, and I could still hear a very strong voice talking. That means I thought I heard it with my ears, but it was talking from inside of me. And I would even talk out the things sometimes. Just talk it out of my own mouth. I don't know why, how it happened, because I wasn't talking really. It just come right out. And I found out that manifestation could also be duplicated. You see. And then it gradually, it would change, and he would speak to me on five different ways. You know. Then I found that he was training me to listen on all these different levels, because although out there where he would whisper in my ear, it wasn't his greatest way of talking to me. Yet every now and then I hear him talk. You see. Then I had to learn to discern the voice of people, whether they are speaking in God or not. And I would go to a meeting and somebody would be preaching and I begin to get a pain in here. I mean, not a natural pain, but like a, you'd like to get out and run, you know. And it oppresses you. And oppression starts coming over you. And that sort of way, I learned that. Then I learned again that a person could come and speak nicely. And I would like to hear that. And if a person is nice, yet it was not God at all. But I found out that when that happened, is that I wanted to accommodate the person inside here. See, that I opened up the person. I wanted to accommodate the person. Whether it be liking the person or just feel that it's godly to be nice to the person. Sometimes all those little things happen to you. And so the voice of God will come and go. He will speak to you one way, and if you get too much used to that way, he'll change it and speak to you very slightly. I show you what happened. I used to be able to come, lay my hands on you like this, and speak very quietly. And gradually, I would start to pick up everything from him. And I would start to prophesy to him. And the more I continued, the stronger the voice would get. Because I obeyed that little voice. And I would know, I would be prophesying to you and telling you direct truths about your own life right now. Then I found out that God stopped me. Don't do it unless God, unless God is moving. Don't do it, because you know what? I found out that there was a divination that could come right in, that you could pick up from the person. You understand? So it's a terrible thing, a much vaster thing than you think it is, and he's training you in all the little ways. He's not going to make you get used to one way and say, this is the way God talks. Once you get into that, the devil gets you. Because this is the way God talks, the devil going to come on the same wavelength. But God can talk any one of these ways. And the devil won't be able to latch on. Because you see, he's not for God's side, but for us. We are so frail. You see what I mean? So don't get frightened about him. It happens to me even now. I don't feel to go to this place. I don't think it is the Lord when I go and find out it's the Lord. Okay. But God always work it that you go. You see? Some little circumstance make you go, and then you find out it's the Lord. So it keeps us humble. Yeah? Yes? Yes. The Spirit is pulling you. Yes?
I have found out too that the enemy uses things.
Scripture said that the sons of God gathered and Satan was also there.
Yeah.
Macedonia. He was speaking. Remember that where Paul was speaking that he made. Three times he tried to come into Macedonia, and something hindered him until God finally broke through.
So, that there be some times when the Lord has to teach you when it's here or here, as different from when He is.
Yeah. Tell them of our experience with when sometimes we're going out and it's so hard, everything goes wrong, and sometimes we find out that we shouldn't force through because it is God. It is God stopping us. And another time we find out that it's the devil stopping us.
But then you find something else that is overruling that thing.
Yeah.
Sometimes you imagine
how
you would live, a lot of circumstances involved in our operation. Because it is like sometimes the Lord speaks to you, and it isn't until after the thing comes to pass that you realize that He did speak to you, because it's not clear that you could understand, but He spoke, literally. And then you wonder how it is that you could have missed it, that you had spoken.
But it's for our learning.
It's for learning.
Yeah.
And you have to be sensitive to the Lord and from the Lord. You should really seek the Lord and find out what the thing really is. Whether it's that He's trying to get into you, or if it's something else that the Lord is.
Yeah. Praise God.
But he shared how the Lord brought him to a place where the Lord would speak to him to take an initiative of his son.
Mm-hmm.
And many times the Lord wouldn't tell him exactly to go somewhere.
Yeah.
But the Lord had expected him to know by now.
Yeah.
To be concerned about my son.
Yes. Well, I can add to that just something even peculiar that I am thinking of right now. God called me, for instance, and told me He was sending me to Africa. He didn't give me any date. He just showed me time again and time again. He called some navies and said to her, the table is spread for Nigeria. Brethren in Nigeria, get prepared and ready, waiting for us. And we get no further unction. No, get up and go now, you know, that sort of thing. We don't get that. And so we are still here and I haven't gone. And yet we hear that a revival is just breaking out in Nigeria. And God told us a year ago the table is spread. But we haven't gone because, well, it seems that if you sit here, for instance, we don't have the money to go. But I believe if we get up and say we are going and start packing our bags, the money would come. You know, that sort of way. It's like even with India. When we were to go to India, God showed me, the whole of India, exactly what we should do, everything. You know? And yet I forgot it all. And was in doubt until I made the commitment to go to India. Oh, my God. Then I could actually show John the places that we were supposed to go. So I do think that God is training us, very intensive training at this time. And we need to be wide awake to get the lesson.